Welcome to Handsome Boys Comics Hour. Hope you survive the experience.
Those boys are so handsome!
Hello, everyone. This is the Handsome Boys Comics Hour, your weekly discussion of comics and other pop culture, your hope for a news review, slightly antagonistic banter, and much, much more. I am Robbie Dorman.
And I'm Eric Sagodai. This is how we talk now. We don't know why.
I'm just trying to keep the energy level up.
Yeah, I know. We're about to take
it. Woo!
Yes. We will make redneck hooting noises. That's how we did. Yes,
I prefer the Ric Flair.
Skinnered.
I prefer the Ric Flair. Woo!
Yes, Ric Flair. I'm gonna chop you.
Nature boy.
I have never heard him called Nate.
It's all the time online. He's always Nate.
Well, I'm sorry when I used to watch wrestling as a kid, I didn't really read the message boards.
Well, no one's perfect, Eric. We all have flaws.
Well, my flaw was that there wasn't the internet in the past.
We can fix that. We just need to get some time travel going, change the space-time continuum a little bit.
Clearly, this is all going to happen today.
Right after we finish recording. So, you guys, if the things that we say happen in this podcast didn't happen, it's because we changed time.
This is going to be a really goddamn busy day. I swear to God. You can't just spring this shit on me. We're going to change the space-time continuum. Fuck you, Dorman.
Such hostility. So, Handsomeites, this is episode number 15.
That's good. Do we have... that's our new term for listeners?
I think so.
That's good. I like that.
Handsomeites.
Handsomeites. Is it like handsome mites or handsomeites?
Handsomeites.
Okay. Yeah.
Whatever that means.
It doesn't really have to have too much meaning.
No, it is people who enjoy listening to us speak.
Well, that's in my case, that's everyone on Earth.
Everyone on the entire Earth?
The entire Earth. I took a poll. It's very scientific.
Is it how many people were included?
I just said everyone.
So you interviewed everyone on Earth, even all the Chinese people?
Yeah. You don't think that I have, like, wizards in my employ?
I didn't know that, actually.
Well, dude, you should read my blog more often.
I do, all the time.
Well, you're not getting the premium content. That's the problem.
Well, I'm not going past, what, I gotta get through a paywall? What kind of garbage is that? I ain't paying for the New York Times. You think I'm gonna pay for you?
Hey, man. I'm better than the New York Times.
If you say so.
I've got wizards, dude.
New York Times has wizards.
Bullshit, they do. They print on paper.
Wizards love paper.
Are you kidding? Wizards love the internet.
I don't know what kind of wizards you have. All the wizards I've met love, like, the older the paper, the better.
Man, you got some square-ass wizards.
Square-ass wizards.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. What I said.
Now that we're done dicking around for 5 minutes.
Is that our allotment?
I think so.
Has it been 5 minutes?
I don't think it's been 5 minutes.
I felt pretty quick. Maybe we should dick around some more. Or we can just sit here.
That's my form of protest against your wizardry.
Man, you don't protest a wizard. They'll turn you into a newt.
What is a newt?
It's a kind of lizard.
Oh, I got tons of lizards down here.
I know. You can go live amongst them. You can be the lizard king.
Like Jim Morrison?
Sure. Just like him.
He is the lizard king.
No, actually, he's dead.
Oh.
I'm not sure if you knew that.
Spoiler alert.
Yep. See? Now we added some more dicking around. That's good.
That's good. So...
That's good. Now we're at our allotment.
So, Hans Mites, folks, episode 15. We're very excited. We're going to jump right into checking in. I'm interested in Eric's his karaoke story. So
my karaoke story.
Yeah,
it's not really. I have had more epic nights at karaoke. Although,
but I know about those.
Well, you actually, I don't think you do. I don't know that I've told you about.
Well,
that
then, many then you can share them all.
I do not have time to tell you every boring story about karaoke, but I will tell you this one.
Okay.
So, right, Yusuf Danik. It's his wife, and it was her birthday this weekend. Yusuf Danik is the one that composed our theme music.
Yes.
For those listening at home on their gramophones. And the two of them decided, I don't think either of them had ever done karaoke before. They're both very musical people. They're both musicians. And they just apparently picked a karaoke place online just based on reviews. And when we got there, it was the diviest bar I'd ever seen. It looks like a place where like alcoholics go to cheat on their AA program.
Oh, one of those places.
Yeah, it was special. It was very special. Like the outside of the building is like all really like shitty red brick that's like not even done very well. Like the building is completely unadorned except for like a really crappy mural of a beer stein. But it's apparently known for just like legendary karaoke nights, and it was a good evening. You know, I did I ended up doing three songs. I did I remember I did Ghost Riders in the Sky, and I did Ring of Fire. I can't remember what I started the night off with, though.
Did you Rickroll them?
I was going to, but it got a little too busy. It's a nice little night of karaoke. I do so love the empty orchestra. Apart from that, it's been a pretty dull week. DuckTales Remastered did come out. I pre-ordered it, got it on Steam the day it came out, and I've been poking at it pretty consistently ever since, and I finished it this morning.
How is it?
It's really fun. It's really, really fun. I think probably my favorite thing about it is it has many of the voice actors from the original DuckTales TV show. And that's pretty heartwarming to see. Like, it's the original Scrooge, but you can tell he has aged. Like, he sounds like an old man now, not just doing an old man voice. It's an excellent game. I'm going to try and get all the achievements in it. It's been pretty good so far. I also, the other day, discovered something. It's about a month old at this point. It's a cartoon that was created by Natasha Alighieri from Adventure Time.
Yeah, I've actually seen it.
What's that?
I've seen it.
You've seen what?
The bee and the puppy cat.
Well, there you go. Thank you for checking in for me. Do you want to do both parts of the rest of the podcast?
I could.
I can just go take.
I can't impersonate you though very well.
You should try right now.
It'd be awful.
Do it.
I can't do your voice at all.
The Hansomites demand it.
They don't demand me doing a bad impersonation of you.
They do whatever I tell them to.
What did you think about being Puppy Cat?
I thought it was interesting enough. It's I think that the character from the main character, I don't even remember her name, but it's almost certain that she's autistic. And after watching an interview with Natasha Alighieri, who's someone that I have followed her art blog for forever, I really do like, I really love her art. It's quite possible she's autistic as well. It's a little odd. She's very peculiar. And if you, there's like the character from Being Puppy Cat is, she's wearing this really bizarre dress that, like, it's got it like an apron front on it that's a cat's face.
Yes.
Natasha apparently had that dress made and wore it to the interview.
That's good.
But if you're even further behind the curve than I am, I recommend you check it out. Natasha is really talented, and I don't know. I hope to see more stuff out of her.
I thought they were doing a full length of it. Like, they're making it actually.
They probably should. I mean, this was just like a pilot. And it's had a very strong response.
That's what I thought I read somewhere. That they're doing a full, or that was just the test, but that because of that, there are more episodes, whatever.
Yes, that's usually how it goes. So they make things, and then they make more things. And then sometimes they stop making things, but...
Well, if you're lucky, I don't use all those insider terms like you do, Eric.
I know. That's the way it goes.
Not all of us are in the industry.
Yep. So it goes. I assume things happen to you, too. So how's that going for you? So I hear you were like an hour away from me, and you decided not to come visit.
I was not an hour away.
I had to friggin' hear it from Yusuf.
I was in Orlando. You're in Tampa. That's a 2-hour drive.
Oh, please. Oh,
okay, hour and a half. But I drove to Leesburg.
Other than betrayal, what are you checking in with, Robbie?
We're gonna see each other in 2 weeks.
And it'll be glorious.
I went up to visit my folks and see. I had to participate in my fantasy football draft.
Can you hear me rolling my eyes?
I can't actually. They're not that loud.
Let me
roll, roll harder.
Yeah. Oh, brother.
Is that what they say?
Like, yes. That's the involuntary sound it makes when I roll my eyes.
Okay. Because we do a live draft. We have 12-team league.
Mm-hmm.
We do it every year, and mm-hmm. It's a money league. It's serious business.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun. And anyone out there, I'm guessing that the chances that anyone listening is a fantasy football fan are probably slim. But if anyone out there plays fantasy football and has never done a live draft, you know, with other people all in the same location. Definitely do it. It makes it the draft like 10,000 times more fun.
Well, I'll keep that in mind.
Are you tuned in enough to the news, Eric, to know about Aaron Hernandez?
Aaron Hernandez.
Yes.
No.
Okay. He's a football player who's got recently arrested for murder.
I might have seen that.
Okay, so he is arrested for murder and cut from his team about like 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Someone drafted him.
Genius.
I know. We all laughed and made him keep it. Yes, it was a lot of fun. We had dinner. I went and had dinner with my folks. I saw friends in Orlando. But really didn't have any time for anything besides those things.
I'm telling you, man.
We played a couple board games. I played Puerto Rico. I know you don't like board games because you don't like fun.
No. Board games are anti-fun. That's the problem.
Board games are the funnest thing you can do.
I can think of many things I prefer to board games.
I know you can.
Yeah.
But we played Puerto Rico. First time I played it. It's a lot of fun. Definitely suggest it. I also ordered two games. One is called Takenoko, which is you're a bamboo farmer. It's very cute. You'd like the art, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Then also, I got Seasons, which is you play a wizard, and you'd like the art in that as well.
It is an illustration-driven industry. I mean, the game has to be good, otherwise no one's going to play it over and over, but the illustrations are usually what sell it to people. I mean,
yeah.
There are, of course, people like yourself that I don't know. You probably just go entirely on recommendations, don't you?
Yeah, or I try and I have a gaming group down here, and I try out games because usually someone will have a game if I want to try it, and if I like it enough, I'll buy it.
There you go.
But then we also watched some IT Crowd, and I know we've mentioned the show before on the air, but I hadn't watched it in a while, and I rewatched my favorite episode, the workouting, and my God, it's still just the funniest thing. And anyone listening who's not watched IT Crowd, it's on Netflix. It's a great show, one of my favorite comedies.
Robbie, you have such a lovely skull.
That's nice, thank you.
That was my Richmond impression for you.
Yeah, I enjoy Richmond. why are you wearing makeup?
I'm not wearing any makeup.
I do enjoy that. But that's about it. I didn't have a super... My week's been pretty busy. I haven't got a lot done. In nerdy things. But...
A lot of sleeping in and masturbating is what you're saying.
No, that'd be so much better.
Well, I'm sorry.
God. I wish I had the time for that.
My goodness.
That's all I got for checking in.
There we go.
So, now that...
Sufficiently checked
in. I think that's a sufficient check-in. Danger, yeah. Danger Mouse approves.
What's Danger Mouse?
Danger Mouse is one of my cats.
Oh, okay. It's not an intergalactic bounty hunter here to bake you pizza.
No, it's a cat. What's wrong with you?
Okay.
Why would an intergalactic bounty hunter be here to bake me pizza?
Why would Kim be an intergalactic bounty hunter?
She makes pizza, not pizza. I'm on keto, Eric. You know this.
God. when did you get so dumb?
It's been a slow and steady process.
You just drink a little bit of mercury every night.
Every day, and it works its way through. You can count in it. That's what my mother always told me. Robbie, always count on mercury. Always makes you stupid.
Yep.
See, always, before I got my spoonful at bedtime.
Loving spoonful of mercury.
Loving spoonful of mercury. Believe that is some kind of classic rock band.
Probably so. So what do you say? What do you say?
What do I say?
Are we checked?
We're checked. We're going to move on into a segment we call Eric's Two Cents.
Ooh, my two cents.
Only Eric's two cents. Of course, I get to yell at him if he's wrong, which occasionally happens. Only occasionally.
Well, I do so love when we shout at each other.
Yes. And then this is where I read names off to Eric, and he just, you know, tells us how much he loves them.
Yes.
Unless that
doesn't quite sound like me, but we'll see how it goes.
But this week we're gonna be at Dragon Con in 2 weeks. I'm gonna give him some people who we'll have a chance to actually run into at Dragon Con if we.
There are gonna be many of these people I don't know. You understand?
No, I'm gonna pick out ones you know.
Okay.
I'm skipping over the ones. Like the chick who played
the questionable ones.
The chick who played the Yellow Ranger. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, I'm not gonna know that person.
I'm not gonna read you her name. I'll go with the people I know you recognize.
That's probably for the best.
It is for the best. We're gonna start off with a legend of film, television, stage, and voice acting, Ed Asner.
Oh, Ed Asner. I just want to cuddle him. He's going to die at a con one day, and it's going to be tragic.
Jesus, don't say that.
He's really old.
I know he's really...
He's in so many things.
I know, but... Okay, what's your favorite role of Ed Asner's?
I would say Cosgrove.
Okay. That's a little surprising to me.
I don't really know him from too much.
Okay.
I've not seen him in too many things.
Okay. Second name?
Mm-hmm.
John DiMaggio, voice of Bender and Jake the Dog.
Well, he's not going to make it to the con because I'm going to kidnap him and he's going to move in with me.
That's lovely. Have you gotten his permission about this?
It wouldn't be kidnapping if I got his permission.
Oh, that's true. What is he? Well, you can just, like, keep him strapped down to a chair in your apartment and feed
him. I think
so. Yeah. Make him do Jake voices.
It'd be Jake versus Bender all day long.
I'm sure he'd love that.
I'm sure he would. I'm sure no one's ever asked him to do that.
Never.
Never.
Ever.
Never, ever.
Okay, next one. Eliza Dushku.
Yeah. I really like to pretend she doesn't exist.
Really?
Yeah, honestly.
You don't like her? Even a little?
Does so little for me. Does almost nothing for me.
Almost nothing?
I don't know.
Okay. You don't have to...
I mean, I can elaborate, maybe, but it's just going to be a lot of me going, yeah.
Okay. Point taken.
Yes.
Ernie Hudson.
Oh, my God. Ernie Hudson is going to be a dragon.
He is.
That's ridiculous.
Ghostbusters, Oz, The Crow.
I forgot he was in Oz. Oh, my God. He's in The Crow?
Yeah, he plays the cop.
Of course he plays the cop.
He almost always plays a cop.
Either a cop or a ghost.
Or a corrupt cop.
Mm-hmm. That's how you go. That's uncanny. I didn't know. The only reason I would think he wouldn't be at Dragon Con is because, like, why? It doesn't seem like he would give a shit.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's that on that level, it's interesting that he would go. I wonder if it's actually going to be worth his time. I don't have any negative feelings about Ernie Hudson. I'm just kind of shocked that he's going to a Comic-Con. I wonder if... Was he in, like, the... Like, they got a lot of the original cast. Was Ernie Hudson in, like, the Ghostbuster game and all this stuff where they got the voices?
I don't know.
They got Bill... I think they got Bill Murray, but, like, friggin' Honey, I Shrunk the Kids wouldn't get in it. What's his name? Rick Moranis. He wouldn't be in it. Did you know that?
What? Rick Moranis wouldn't be in what?
He wouldn't be in the Ghostbusters game.
Well, yeah, I mean, he
wouldn't
he doesn't,
record voices.
Well, I know, because he doesn't... I mean, he's basically retired.
He's not basically retired. He said he's retired and will not do other things.
I know, it's good. That's his wife died. He wanted to spend time with his...
Okay, that's a detail I did not...
His wife died in 1996, or 97, and he... retired to spend time with his kids.
I thought he was just a dick.
He's one of the best people ever.
Rick Moranis. He made Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
I know, but he's a good person.
Oh, please.
He is. He is a good...
How many starving orphans has he saved?
3 dozen.
Bullshit.
Personally, I mean, and that's just not...
They don't count orphans in dozens, Robbie.
Fine. 3 baker's dozen.
That's more like it.
Okay, you ready for the next? I didn't say Rick Moranis' name, but apparently it's
he wouldn't come to the con because he's retired.
Okay, next up, Jamie Hyneman.
I want to live in his mustache.
Inside of it?
Yeah, I want to build a summer home there. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool that he's going to be there. Does that mean Adam Savage is going to be there?
He may appear later on this list.
He'd better. He'd better. I don't check. Who's going to be there at all. But Adam Savage was not at Dragon Con last year. And I was crushed.
He's on the featured list, so I assume he's going to be there.
Adam is? Joy of joys. I like Jamie, like, an awful lot, but I adore Adam Savage.
Okay. Well, I guess that was going to be my question, which one you prefer.
Oh, God. Yeah, don't even... There's no comparison. There's no comparison. Like, I think if I could... I don't know. Like, if I could be one of the two of them, it would be, like, a really tough decision. Because, like, I think Jamie is, like, an incredibly awesome dude. And he's taken, like... He's, like, way older than Adam.
Yeah.
He's taken such amazing care of himself. He's so, like, intense. and intelligent, and I love all that about him. But like the crazy like passion for everything that Adam Savage has is amazing, and I really admire that. He's one of my favorite people in the world.
Yeah, I mean, but I too think I probably would rather have like a conversation with Adam, like have dinner with Adam. Mm-hmm. But that show does not work without both of them.
No, it's true.
Like it's, you know, it's the old, I mean, it's this, you know, the old straight man and like,
yeah,
the whole thing. You need the kind of, they balance each other out.
Much like this podcast. Much like this
podcast. Am I Adam or are you Adam? Who's Jamie?
I'm Adam.
You sure about that?
You're the straight man. Yes.
You're always the negative one.
It doesn't matter. You're the straight man. I'm the wacky one.
Oh, okay.
Do you not remember when I asked you what color that girl's nipples were? The straight man does not ask that question.
I guess that's true. I forgot about that, actually. Thank you for reminding me. Okay, next up, Lucy Lawless. Xena.
Oh my god, Xena, just it's so 90s just to even think about it. Like I think like it I don't know. I hear go ninja, go ninja, go. I hate the 90s so much.
The 90s was, it wasn't all bad.
It was not all bad, but there was a lot of terrible media, and all of it was forced on us. There was nothing else as a kid.
That's true. So not excited to meet Lucy Lawless?
She's at every con, so no. No, I have avoided her every year.
Avoided her like she's hunting you down?
She's totally hunting me down. She's like, that guy is in.
You like duck?
That guy is going to be in the Handsome Boys comics.
You duck into like the food court.
Yeah. Like, fuck, Lucy Lawless is chasing me around.
You gotta hide out. You jump into the booth with Will Wheaton and... Oh, wait, you hate Will Wheaton, too.
I don't hate him. I don't understand it.
He's not going to be there, so it doesn't matter.
What does he have going on in his life?
He does, like, a whole bunch of YouTube stuff.
Yeah, you know what? You can do YouTube stuff from friggin' anywhere.
I know, that's what I mean.
You know what? These professional nerds have, like, practically no reason not to go to cons. Like, I honestly don't understand it. Whatever, it's his own life. I guess he can stay at home and sleep all day and jack off if he wants to. It's his business.
George Perez.
You would think I'd have like a really well formulated opinion on George Perez.
I wouldn't think so. That's why I'm asking.
I totally. Well, of course, yeah. But I kind of don't.
Really?
Yeah. Like, what did he do? He did Crisis.
Yes. They did the Avengers for a long time.
Yeah. I've only read a little bit of Crisis.
I was never a huge fan.
Yeah. Yeah. I just am not familiar enough with his work to have too much of an opinion. So I'm fairly neutral on George Perez at this point.
Okay. William Shatner.
The Shat.
Yep.
The old Shat.
Mm-hmm.
I like William Shatner. He's cheesy.
Yes, he is.
He's fun. He is. I don't really care about any Star Trek at all, to be perfectly honest. I don't have any opinion one versus the other. Star Trek is kind of off my radar.
But you like William Shatner?
Yeah. He's pretty all right as a person. I can hardly believe he's 80 years old.
I know. It's fucking ridiculous.
Isn't it bizarre? I don't know.
Oh,
he doesn't even really look like it.
Well, he was always heavily... I imagine if you saw him without makeup, he would look 80 years old.
Maybe that's what it is. But...
Okay, I've got two more names.
Two more names. I hope they're good ones.
James or I don't even know how to say his last name. James Urbaniak, yeah.
Yeah.
The voice of Thaddeus Venture and others on Venture Brothers.
You know, I don't know too much about the guy. He's supposed to be pretty cool. I have a podcast that's like an interview with him that I haven't listened to that I'm looking forward to. But I think I even follow him on Twitter, and I know so little about the guy. So I'm positive just based on what little I know about him. He's supposed to be really cool.
Yeah, they're going to have a Venture Brothers panel. So I'm probably...
Okay, you said Venture Brothers. Yeah. I thought you said Adventure Brothers.
No, Venture Brothers panel. They're going to have a Venture Brothers panel.
That sounds like something I should check out. I guess that
means we're going to be attending that, I'm guessing.
Of course, like... I mean, Cartoon Network is in friggin' Atlanta.
Yeah.
So this is like these guys going down the street.
I don't think they all live in Atlanta.
I don't know that all of them do, necessarily, but... I want to say that, like, Doc Hammer and Jackson Publick are at almost every Dragon Con. I mean, because if they don't go, it's like, oh, shit, Dragon Con was this weekend? Fuck.
Okay, this is the last name. I want you to be ready for it.
I'm so ready.
Billy D. Williams.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
The only black person in the Star Wars universe, apparently.
Yeah. Apparently so. You don't know, though. Most of the stormtroopers could be black.
That's true. They could be. I just assume they're not.
Assuming that they're not Jango Fett clones.
Yes, that's true. They're not black. They're orange.
They're orange.
They're all orange.
They're all orange.
Jango, that's like good. Jango Fett.
Good for Billy D. Williams. I'm gonna get a Colt 45 and see if he'll sign it.
He probably would. He probably thinks...
He might be really offended, too. I don't know. But, yeah. Old Billy D.
Friggin'
Lando.
He currently stars in Night Shift, a spinoff of General Hospital that currently runs on the Soap Network.
That sounds awful.
It does, indeed.
That really does.
He's also an accomplished artist whose paintings are displayed around the globe.
Neat.
So you could talk shop with him.
It has been known to happen at cons.
Yes, for like an hour.
You get annoyed about it.
Well, like, but I don't get.
Like
I don't
the
get
best
annoyed.
Thing in the
you
world
can talk
for
as
me.
Yeah, I know you can talk as long as you want. It's when you get annoyed at me for not just standing there and listening to you.
Well, dude, you disappear.
I'm bored after 30 minutes of you guys talking about like paper.
We don't talk about paper generally. Well, I mean, I could have a long conversation about paper.
I know.
To be honest, now that I think about it.
I know you could.
Jesus Christ. What am I?
Are you a Muppet or a man?
Now I want to burst into song.
Am I a man or a Muppet? Okay.
Well, I'm a Muppet of a man. Fucking karaoke, man.
I know. That should be in every...
That would be a sweet karaoke song.
It would be. That'd be good. You have a duo.
Would you be my Muppet?
Sure. Okay. It would work out really well, too.
Yeah, there you go. Do you sing, Robbie?
Not great.
You're actually more musical than I am.
Yeah, I can. I mean, I'm not great, but I'm okay. I can carry a tune, as Kim likes to say. I mean, I'm not a... I don't have a great range, but I can, like... I have a good enough ear that I can, you know, hit most... I can sing most songs relatively well.
Yusuf was actually very impressed with me last night, which that... I'm putting that in my book.
Okay, that's enough for Eric's 2 cents. We got to hear all he has to say about Eliza Dushku when we'll wait.
About... I don't like this people.
We're going to move on to weekly floppies. And this week is friggin' loaded. We got 6 issues this week with a bonus issue because I didn't want to not talk about it with Eric. Starting off, Eric's going to have to probably talk the entire time because my brain is still exploded. From the awesomeness. But it's Thor, God of Thunder, number 11, the conclusion of the God Bomb arc, written by Jason Aaron, art by Esad Ribic, colors by Eve Sforzina, letters by Joe Sabino. We get to see final confrontation between Gore and all the Thors, and what happens when the God Bomb goes off. And it's amazing, and I love it, and you should buy it, and it's great, and rah, 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 rah.
Well, don't give it all away right off the bat there.
I know. It's you read 10, it's not like a surprise, I don't think. I don't think you're... But just, I mean, it's kind of a spoiler, just, I mean, because it's the end of the huge arc, but...
I don't think that what happens is as much as the execution of it.
Yes.
In my opinion,
but just and the art is.
But you want to keep it vague. You don't want to spoil.
No, we can spoil it as much as we want. I don't care. This battle between Thor with the two Mjolnirs, and then he gets Gore's weapon from him. The all black, the Necro Sword. Dear God, that is so metal.
We'll have a sword fight with that.
The slamdring,
the foe hammer,
the slicer of worlds, the Anaya Blade. Oh my God, it's so awesome.
Listen to you.
I know, it's crazy.
You're such a fucking...
I know, but look, and the art on that page. I want that framed on my wall. So...
Which page is...
10, number 10.
They're not effing numbered.
Yes, they are.
Okay, it was the one I thought of.
Yeah. I mean, that, and then the next page, where he just kills... blows up Gore in the face with the two hammers... And then after all this trouble, after a year of storytelling, you hear Gore is crying and like and weeping and moaning about, you know, how he's failed, and the young Thor just chops his fucking head off. He's like, I don't want to hear more of that shit. Oh my God. This is so good. Oh God, I'm afraid that I don't know how he could top this arc. It's just crazy good. I'm a buy, 100%, 1,000%.
I don't know that I can really elaborate too much on it beyond that. It's definitely a good book. I'm definitely a buy. I'm not as crazy into it as Roboito is, but it's definitely very good. And I have missed out on the early parts of the arc, as I still have not picked them up, but I still intend to. These books are well worth buying. They are very, very strong.
Yeah, again, so good. You have no idea how excited I was to read it.
I can have...
You have an idea? Anyway. Okay.
As soon as I saw the notes, that the books that you picked out this time, I was like, oh, shit. Thor, God of Thunder.
Yeah.
Robbie's going to be just chomping at the bit. Probably woke up at 4 a.m. on Wednesday.
It's not on the app that early.
When does it go on?
Like 8 or 9 o'clock.
8 or 9 o'clock?
Yep.
Did you call into work?
I did not, actually. I didn't read until Thursday because Wednesday I was so freaking busy. But... I managed to bide my time and get it. I was super excited. Next up, Infinity, number one, written by Jonathan Hickman, art by Jim Chung. This is the first issue of Marvel's big event of the year, where we get the storylines of Hickman's New Avengers, his Avengers, both Avengers and New Avengers, plus Thanos. All these kind of plot lines kind of coalescing. Huge cast. I mean, the cast page itself has like 50 characters on it.
Yeah, it does.
Although most of them are, you know, just background characters for the most part. But, it sees the storylines of, with New Avengers, with the crisis of the Earths, the different galaxies or universes, dimensions, collapsing into each other. Versus, and then you get the Builder storyline from Avengers, which we've seen bits and pieces of as we've been reading Avengers books here and there. And then that's meeting Inhuman storylines, and then Thanos is a huge part about it. And all these things are kind of joining together and into a huge story. And it's very dense. What do you? I want to know what you think. Did you understand everything that was happening about this, Eric? Because I know you haven't read the background that I have, probably.
No, I don't think that I understood enough. I mean, I think as a self-contained story, it works. There's enough explanation. I'm not going to know every nuance of the things you're talking about because they are explored in these other arcs. I think this is still stood in and of itself. It's a million pages, too.
Yeah, it's really long.
They had ample time. Like, holy crap. It is
142 pages.
Yeah. Well, you really can't count that section at the end.
That's true.
It was almost like a poorly done digital, like, whatever, kind of like Batman 66.
Yeah, with Silver Surfer instead.
Yeah, which is it was an awesome story, but God, how much was this?
$4.99. I think it was.
Well worth the price. This was my favorite book that we read this time. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. The fact that someone can pick this up without reading the backstory is testament to how well Hickman kind of bring in all these different plot lines, which are, there's a half dozen, and make them compelling while getting, like, communicating the story and making the, you know, keeping the action moving throughout the entire issue, which is quite long.
Yes.
I don't think we've ever done a Jim Chung book. Do you like his style?
This art is gorgeous. I'm a big fan. Who is it that's doing? He does the pencils and the inks. That's kind of impressive.
No, I think he did. I think
Mark said at the beginning it just lists art by Jim Chung.
Yeah, there's a credits page. Pencils, Jim Chung, inkers Mark Morales with he helped with John Livesey, Dave Mikus, and Jim Chung. Colors by Justin Bonser.
Then the credits page at the beginning of the book in Comixology.
Yeah, that it's not incorrect. Always. Yeah. It never always. It tends to not always list everyone because they don't. Yeah, that I don't. Think that's croak. That's controlled by Comixology. I think they just kind of put in the base information sometimes.
I think Marvel, they really have a knack for doing the big epic storylines. They do them terribly well. And this is big and epic, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and Jim Chung, he's very. I imagine you would like him because he's. Yeah. I think he shares a very similar kind of viewpoint. With you, I think.
From how's what that?
He's a lover of the cheesecake, and well, he's
good.
Yes,
he's a red blooded man.
He's definitely his Shauna the She Devil. That's like he drew the first arc of Savage Wolverine, and like the what got him on board was, oh well, you can set in the Savage Land and have Shauna the She Devil there, and he's like, oh okay. But yeah, you can tell he put a lot of time and effort into this. This is really good.
Do you know what? It looks a lot like Dexter Vine's ink work. And that's who I thought was inking it when I was looking through it. It makes me think of like Old Man Logan. Like an awful lot. Like the cross hatching. It's just a really, really beautiful book. Yeah. And I think we should. I don't know. I would like to follow this storyline. I mean, I think it's going to be hard for us to avoid it, isn't it? It's a huge event in Marvel.
Yeah, I mean, there's half like a lot of books are crossing over, and we'll probably at least follow the main series, and probably
Silver Surfer story is really gorgeous looking too.
Yeah, it really that's good as well. I don't know if who drew that.
Didn't really list it beforehand. I was just shocked because I got to the end of the main storyline, and like this book, it keeps going. What the hell?
Augustin Alessio. He's the artist. Alessio. And Jason Latour wrote it.
So, he's got some talent, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's good.
I like it.
I love the shot of Silver Surfer slicing a dude in half with his surfboard. It's epic. And the sound effect, swing.
it's a good comic book sound effect.
Yeah, that is. So I'm a buy on Infinity Number One.
Absolutely a buy. It's so good. There's that panel you were talking about. Swing.
Yes, it's awesome.
Party on, Garth.
Party on, Wayne. All right. the bonus Marvel issue of the week. I saw Frazier Irving is back on art, so we had to pick it up. Uncanny X-Men number 10.
I'm glad we did this.
Yeah. And the story is, we're seeing the X-Men train. We're seeing confrontations with S.H.I.E.L.D. And then Cyclops and the group make a public appearance amidst a rally for them. But, I mean, the star of the show is still Frazier Irving's art. It's amazing. So his style is, I don't know, it just speaks to me.
Do you know who it reminds me of is Travis Charest?
Yeah.
You're familiar with his work?
A little bit, yeah. I've seen a few things.
I would say it's very similar.
Frazier Irving actually he recorded his Photoshop session for the cover. Mm-hmm. And he put it online. It's really, really cool. Really cool to see. The cover is gorgeous as well.
Should put that in the show notes.
I will. It's really good.
It's a very, apart from being, a very technically sound illustrator, in terms of making, really nice drawings and drawing things in three-dimensional space and using color and doing all this, if you look at that cover, that's a pretty sound concept,
Yeah.
It's not just let me draw Cyclops looking like a badass. And I think that's what good illustration is, The marriage of craft and ideas.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been following this book anyway, but having him on art, every other arc or so,
right,
makes it super easy. Because I know what I'm getting, which is just stellar work.
And there's no gold balls.
He's in the background.
I thought in that one issue that he's walked away or something.
He came back because he got threatened by S.H.I.E.L.D. or something.
They said, "We need your balls."
I think he ran back to them. You can see him. It's on with him and Cyclops and Emma are having their little argument. If you look in the background, you can see him with little gold balls floating around.
I'll take your word for it.
It's like very early on. It's like this first page with art.
Well, I guess you're right. Those are gold balls.
Those are gold balls.
What would I ever do without the Huevos Oros?
I don't know. But, Bendis' writing is still very solid, but, Frazier Irving's art is the star of the show. I'm a buy.
Yeah, I'm a buy as well. I feel pretty good about picking it up.
So that's it for Marvel for the week. Next up is our indie book, and I could not pick it. I've been holding off for the trade paperbacks, but it I saw it come out. I didn't want to not read it. So it's Saga number 13, written by Brian K. Vaughan, art by Fiona Staples, letters and designs by Phonographics. This even enlarges the scope of the series even more. Adding more characters.
Mm-hmm.
More set pieces. But, it's so good.
Saga is really, truly excellent.
And I saw an article or something about how, if you haven't read, they're like, this one's coming back in after they take, their two-month break and the trade comes out. And they're like, if you haven't read it before, it seems like nothing much is happening. I'm like, every issue could be like this where, it's nothing of great import, seemingly.
Right.
And I'd be perfectly happy because it's still so good. The art is, it's still so gorgeous and the writing is solid and it's great. I don't know how you cannot enjoy this.
Well, I guess, are you setting me up to say I don't enjoy it?
No, I can't imagine you don't like this.
No, I did.
Exactly.
I do kind of question, just simply because of how I would prefer reading these things in trade, honestly. And I think for listeners, that's worth considering. If you are jonesing for it after reading the others, and you absolutely have to read it every time it comes out, well, then you know what you're doing. But I just think it's more pleasant to read the trades when they come out and get a whole arc, because this is good.
It does have more punch when you get all of it at once.
Yeah, I think a lot of what's happening here, at least in terms of Alana and Marco, mm-hmm. like we could have skipped all this leading up to meeting the guy on Quietus. What was his name? Heist? Was his name Heist?
Yes, D. Oswald yeah. Heist.
I think we could have skipped all of that in terms of the story, because we know that they're already there. That was the cliffhanger at the end of the second trade. I think we could have skipped a lot of this. But, I mean, it's more exploration into the characters. It's more world building. It's not bad. But as a single issue, I think it does weaken it a bit. Does that make sense, Robbie?
I understand what you're saying.
I mean, I don't have a problem, you know, running out and doing it, but I think that people should consider, you know, should I wait and buy, like, the arc mm-hmm. and get the whole arc at once? I still stand by what I said, that Saga is probably the most exciting thing happening in comics, and it is always great to read it, but I feel like I would be more excited about it waiting for the next, or at least, you know, getting three or four books at once.
Well, and
but that's more
I,
the way I read.
I'll quote you mm-hmm. when you say every comic is someone's first issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think if you were just picking this up, it catches you up to speed very quickly.
Yeah, no, it's certainly
pretty organically.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's part of their goal. And I enjoy the Will, you know, going crazy and seeing hallucinations of his dead spider-legged girlfriend
mm-hmm.
or ex-girlfriend, and Alana holding a baby and a mace. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Looks really heavy.
She's been holding that baby, so she's got some guns.
I guess so.
Maybe it's just, you know, it's the future. It's they have super light, strong metals or something.
I guess the whole. Do we need to discuss weapons?
I think we do.
Just let's for have like a 3-hour discussion. Exactly 3 hours. We both agree.
Exactly at the same time.
3 hours on the dot. Doesn't matter if we're in the middle of a sentence. Just cut it off.
Cut it off. But I'm a buy. I can't not say buy because it's so good.
You should buy. This is my recommendation. You should buy everything related to Saga and the storyline. But if you wanted to wait to pick this up as a trade, I think that's respectable. It just depends on how you prefer to read. But if you like comics at all, you have to read Saga. So that's my statement. That's my nuanced buy.
Yes. Next up, we're going into DC and Batman number 23. This is Zero Year Part 3, written by Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo on pencils, Danny Mickey did the inks, colors by FCO Placentia. I'm just going to say that. And letters by...
That's not a good name.
No, it's not. Nick Napolitano on letters. We see Bruce Wayne get the ever-living shit kicked out of him in this issue.
Sweet. Take that, Brucey.
Yeah, by the Red Hood.
Yeah, there he is.
And,
oh, he has a mace, too.
He does have a mace, too. From Bruce Wayne's own collection, apparently. And
it's fucking suck to get hit by a mace.
Yeah, you would,
I don't think you... You don't really survive...
Unless you're Batman.
Maybe.
Batman survives.
Batman must have a really thick head.
I don't think he got hit in the head with it, did he?
It doesn't... Okay, it does show him getting hit.
In the shoulder.
Yeah.
And then, like, I think, like, the chest or something. I don't think he ever got... I don't know, if he got hit in the head, I don't think he would survive that.
Yeah, that's effing game over.
This is kind of... You finally see the, you know... Yes, Father, I am the Bat, whatever kind of moment. Which
that is, it seems so strange.
Yes, it does.
It feels kind of forced.
Yeah, it's out of character from the rest of this. Like the first two books, where it's very, you know, on the level, like on the street level kind of thing. More in tune with the Nolan movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it's and then suddenly a, like this, vision. Yeah, like a mystical vision, and like these ethereal bats fly through the window, and his the Wayne Manor turns into the Batcave. It's the art in that in section is incredibly beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just that the one page with the bats coming flying in through the door, the open door is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It seems like they did some kind of after effect to those pages, and specifically to make them seem almost dreamlike, a little blurry. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it works beautifully. It's just thematically, it's a little strange when you are reading. You read 2.5 issues of him just being like some dude trying to break up crime. You know, you see different organizations and criminals doing different machinations, and suddenly he's beat up, and then he's like sees visions and. Hallucinations. Yeah. And it does. I don't. And there's no connection. Is there any other hints of like bats in
right
anywhere?
Right. No. There's not. And really, I think I could have accepted this if they had done, you know, some. And maybe people would have complained about it, but it would have made more sense to have two or three other occasions where there was more.
Yeah, he sees that
foreshadowing. Yeah,
exactly. It just suddenly,
like, I think Batman Begins did it really well. You know, where it showed him falling into the cave and established that he was terrified of bats and
You do get like the beginning. You see him, you know, him, his father trying to find him in the well, the old well, and then you kind of, it's a weird kind of thing where he's. You know, stumbling around, and that's kind of supposed to be calling back to his childhood, but there's not anything overt about it. There's nothing about bats, which is very strange when then you're presented with suddenly, oh yeah, I'm dressed up like a bat. Obviously.
Yeah, yeah, it's truly, truly bizarre.
I don't know, maybe.
It feels very forced.
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't bad. By any stretch of the imagination. I really enjoyed the backup story.
Oh, that was fun.
I really, yeah. Bruce Wayne is like a pit fighter. Refusing to kill people. And the cover is misleading.
He looks all grizzly.
He does. How does he look so old in that, in the backup story?
And this is he's 24.
Yeah. It looks like he has gray hair in his beard.
Yeah. I think it's just highlights.
Yeah, I know it's just the coloring and stuff, but
yeah,
the of the whole.
But he clearly does not look 24.
No, he looks old. He looks a grizzly dude. I'm kind of on the fence on this one. Where are you, Eric?
I mean, I would say buy it just because I think that it's going places, but I'm a weak buy really on this whole arc. The more I read of it.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm starting to lose patience.
Yeah.
Like, it's supposed to be it's 12 issues long. He has not put on any costume yet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the third issue. And they're leading that to be, I guess, the next issue is when he'll be the Batman, actually put on a Batman costume. And thematically, it's just a little...
Yeah.
It's inconsistent. I'm a weak buy. The art is still good. It's still well executed, I guess. Like, you know, the story is told well. It's thematically inconsistent is the only thing, I guess, but it doesn't make any sense that...
It feels a little messy.
It feels out of context, it's great. In context, it's confusing. So I'm a weak buy as well.
Yeah.
We'll see what the fourth book in the arc tells us. That can color us a little bit better. The last issue of the week is Batgirl number 23, written by Gail Simone. Art is by, let me see, can never find the stinking credits pages on DC because they put them everywhere. I'll just go to the Comixology. Gail Simone, pencils by Fernando Pissarro, and inks by Jonathan Glavion, colored by Blonde. All you artists with your pseudonyms and alter egos.
I'm going to change my name to Prince.
Prince?
Mm-hmm.
It's a solid name. This is our first time reading Batgirl in the New 52. Barbara Gordon, with the use of her legs, who is Batgirl being torn between her father, who doesn't know that she's unknowingly killed her own brother, who had turned crazy and was a killer. Now she's being pulled into this like gang warfare with her ne'er-do-well boyfriend, with the police hunting her down. What'd you think about this, Eric?
Beautiful art. Story's not bad. I don't know if I'm terribly drawn into it, though. I don't think it was bad enough that I guess I'm kind of confused that it's not bad enough that I wouldn't say, hey, you should actively avoid this book, but it didn't blow me enough to where I'm like, yeah, you should absolutely buy it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same.
The art is super strong.
You like it a lot?
Yeah, I think it's some of the best. I mean, it's been a strong showing this week. There's been a lot of very, very good books, a lot of great art, and I think this stands amongst the best of it. It's really very good. But I don't know that I would make the recommendation based on that alone.
Yeah. It's not, like you said, it's not bad.
Right.
The story is clear enough to someone who's just jumping in.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of us have read any of these Batgirls of the New 52.
Yes.
And you can still understand what's happening easily. And the writing's very competent.
Yeah.
You know, character works is good enough. It's just, I don't know, the story is just done before.
Yeah.
The story has been done before, and I don't know. You don't even get to see Batgirl in the Batgirl costume. I don't know.
She does dress like a redheaded ninja, though.
She does dress like a redheaded ninja. Oh, it's just another gritty Batman story.
Mm-hmm.
Batman family story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in between unknowing alter egos and family relationships and stuff like that. I'll have to say don't buy. Because I agree with Eric that I wouldn't say actively avoid it. And if you're reading Batgirl, I would say you probably are more invested in it than we are.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like feel that much in this. It didn't make me feel enough.
Yeah.
Made me think worth it. So, I'm a don't buy.
I'll put my money where my mouth is and say also don't buy. The caveat being that if you're just dying for more Batman or something about it draws you to it, you know, there's no reason not to give it a shot. But it sucks that everything is done so well and yet it's just sort of adequate.
It just seems like a lot of these DC stores are just kind of the same level of gritty.
Yeah.
Gritty, you know, people being, you know, badasses or, you know, with, you know, whatever it is. And it kind of just blurs together. It's disappointing because I really wanted to like it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it this week for Weekly Floppies.
Floppy time is over, people.
This week is in classic breakdown.
It's a classic.
It's a classic. We're doing Weapon X storyline, written and drawn by Barry Windsor Smith. We had talked about it on a previous show about them, you know, doing recoloring stuff. It is, if you're hunting down the issues, You can find it collected just as Weapon X, or you can go find Marvel Comics Presents 70, number 72 through 84. For those with Marvel Unlimited subscriptions, all of them are on online in their database, so you can read it for just the cost of your subscription.
Word.
And this is released in 91, really was, the middle, probably, of the huge Wolverine boom before it hit the nadir in the mid-90s of massive Wolverine overexposure. Of course, it's never really stopped.
Mm-hmm.
But this is exploring how Wolverine got his adamantium skeleton, his being experimented on, what the background of all his horrific memories, and what would be the fodder for Wolverine stories for two decades.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know. I know you said you liked. Did you like? How do you think about the art in this over this arc? Or this, Barry Windsor Smith's style is very kind of unique in superhero comics. At least you don't see it. And this especially is very...
Yes, particularly for the time period.
Yeah.
I think that this is pretty uncommon. Of course, this was just coming out of the 80s, so it makes sense that there were more guys like doing this kind of work, but I'm thinking of like the McFarlanes and the Liefelds of the world that were taken over during this period, so...
Yeah.
It's good to see something from the from the 90s that's competently drawn.
Yeah, it's so reading this makes you feel like filthy and like grimy and like bloody and dirty and like there's so many even the shots that aren't of Wolverine in like the laboratory with stuff coming out of him, like it. There's interspersed scenes everywhere. He's just every square inch of him is seemingly covered with pipes and needles and tubes, and it really accomplishes of making you understand where all this rage has come from, where all this confusion of his life, because Wolverine up until this point has had no memories. He's the mysterious stranger. For the most part. And we even read in Days of Future Past, that was the first time that we even knew his name. He was Logan.
Is that really how they introduced it?
I think so, yeah.
Because they just dropped it casually. Like, Logan.
I think there was one scene where he goes, you've never told me that. There's your name, is he? So he never asked. This has really kind of shaped me as a comics fan. This is one of the things I read when I was a little kid. And I'm fully certain I did not understand half of it.
Mm.
I just was like, Wolverine, Weapon X is so cool.
Yeah.
It's all bloody. Yeah. This really set in motion like everything that has come after this in with Wolverine. It was actually in X-Men 2, a lot of that stuff is taken almost directly from this with the laboratory and stuff like that.
Yes.
What do you think, Eric, about the story, about the history?
I mean, it's a pretty amazing little story. I'm glad I've actually finally read it. Reading through it, I had thought that I had read it. I might have read one issue or something back when I was a kid. But I clearly did not read all of this. It's really quite grisly.
Yeah, it is.
And I like a lot of things about it. The... particularly the early issues, I really like the tone of it, but for me, it gets, overdone and heavy-handed really quickly. Like, I think there's, for what it is, and maybe it's drug out for so long just to show the severity of how cruel and horrible these people were.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a big part of it. But I feel like the story could have been told much more concisely. I don't necessarily think it's bad like this, but there are several of the issues where you're like, well, that's kind of the exact same thing that just happened, just in a different way.
Yeah, they kind of, they eventually, I mean, they scale up, and these issues are short.
Yeah, they are. I didn't even think about that until I was flipping through them here on my app, and I'm like, wait, that was 9 pages.
Yeah, they're designed as, you know, little vignette almost.
Yeah.
So if you actually put these in, it'd probably be only be maybe 8 issues or 7 issues or 6 issues if you actually put them in, you know, its typical comic length, like 24 pages.
Mm-hmm.
You could put 2 to 3 per comic. But, I mean, this Marvel Comics Presents line was almost exclusively a Wolverine comic pretty much at this point. I mean, I'm looking back through all these, the older, you know, it started out as, you know, like, oh, look, this is the thing of this week, and this is the thing of this week, and then when Wolverine started getting super popular, they were like, oh, well, we should probably just make this a Wolverine comic, and that's pretty much what they did. I think after this, it transitioned into a full-time just Wolverine, and they made it Wolverine. But this is very interesting to see. This is how... I don't know. I'm curious about how much of this was fully like Barry Windsor Smith going, well, this is his, how he got his, you know, his metal skeleton and all that stuff, and why he doesn't remember anything, or how much of this was like if there was anyone else involved in this story, because it really is super. I mean, even before and after this, Wolverine is this defined him as a character.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he got captured, became this rampaging animal, experimented on, memories changed, and I mean it's precipitated him joining the X-Men, you know, ostensibly with Professor X promising him he'll, you know, fix him or helping fix him. So I'm curious. I don't know if that's answered anywhere.
I don't know.
Because it's pretty interesting if it was just all him.
Hmm.
It is somewhat redundant in later issues.
Yeah. I do feel like there's a lot of redundant material, but, you know.
Again, I'm not...
Barry Windsor Smith is not... he's not a professional writer, but I think he's done a good job. There are a lot of parts, like some of the dialogue, like they throw in really corny, what do you call it? Dialect.
Yeah.
Like people will I can't even, like, I just saw where, like, someone said, you understand, but that, like, it was, it was done as a contraction and, like, just weird.
Do you think?
That doesn't seem, it doesn't even fit the characters.
Do you think?
Yeah, exactly.
Wolverine. It's a pitfall of a lot of writers, even like professional writers, people where unless you're very, very, very good at it, it is very hard to do colloquial like language.
Yeah.
Like that whole, like the whole Gambit thing where writers write Gambit and try and give him like, you know, Cajun colloquialisms, and most of the time it just sounds terrible.
Yes.
And Rogue, too, with her southern, you know.
Yeah, Rogue is...
It's the almost, same thing. It's like, yes. It's a caricature of southern dialect, not actual southern dialect.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the same thing with Wolverine and a lot of other characters. It's not in just in comics, either. In fiction in general, a lot of writers try and write dialect, and it usually just comes off terrible. You're usually better off just kind of translating the dialect to regular English, you know, and trying to communicate the feelings without trying to change the language. It's not easy. I mean, it's easier. It's not still not by any means an easy thing. And that's a lot of times a lot of characters in modern fiction are not, you know. You don't have strange speaking unless it's so strange that it's not relatable to an actual human.
Yes. Do you want to talk about the color?
Oh, yeah.
Seems like an apt thing.
Yeah, it does.
Considering what we talked about the other day.
Yeah, I'm reading it on the Marvel Unlimited.
Yeah, and I'm reading it. I bought them on Comixology, so we're both probably looking at the same files.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem... This is... It looks like I remember it.
Here's the interesting thing. There's absolutely no way that this is not colored digitally. These are not just scans. You know, there's zero chance that this is a scan of a print. And if this was done in 91, it's very unlikely that it was done digitally at that point.
No, but it doesn't. It looks great to me. Looks fine.
Yeah. No, it
certainly communicates the era still. I mean, there's never at one point you go, oh, this is a modern comic, but you still feel the age, and I think that's they didn't have this in the article we were discussing. They only had the Conan books, which I thought did look a little weird to me.
Yeah,
this does not.
Well,
this is
very much done, and it's done by someone that's clearly very clever about it, and they haven't listed a colorist here either. But it was clearly done to emulate the colors that were in there. Make you feel like it's from this era, but I would bet money that this was colored digitally by someone. It was like the inks were scanned, you know, and then colored.
Yeah, I mean, but
it
feels right. It doesn't feel
exactly. They made the decision to keep it true to the original. And to that, I kind of understand where they're coming from. Like, if they had colored this in a more modern way, and this is what everyone was familiar with, it kind of would be... I don't know, it kind of would hurt it, you know? I really like the way this looks this way. I like the garishness of it.
Yeah, I think it works better with the fact that it's supposed to be grisly and very violent and disturbing. It's supposed to disturb you. It's not. You're not supposed to feel all right staring at Wolverine and him getting, like, mutilated. And
yeah.
We know why his hair looks like that, though, because it grows back naturally like that, apparently.
Now here's... I don't know that I would... I don't know if I'm reversing myself at all based on what I said before.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would want to read this colored in a modern style.
No, I definitely wouldn't. I love it because this is how I remember it.
Yeah.
It feels like out of time.
Yeah.
And I think that helps it. It's supposed to feel like it's in the past, in indeterminate past. Well, Wolverine's a drifter, and he gets picked up and experimented on. And it makes you feel like you're in the time period of the book, which is, who knows? You don't know when it is, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you'd like to add, Eric?
Not really. I'm glad we read this.
No, and it's a huge blast of the past for me. Yeah. I have not read this in its entirety. I probably never read the whole thing as a kid. But I remember reading. I remember owning. These covers are very familiar to me from looking at them as a kid.
There are good many of them that really stand out to me as well.
And reading back through them and going, "Oh yeah, that one. Oh, that one. Oh, I remember that." So I love it. It's really good. And I mean, if you're a Wolverine fan, you haven't read this, definitely go check it out. Yeah, it's. Everything about Wolverine is kind of been influenced by this.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole Weapon X history and stuff. This is basically where it started. And everything kind of grew out of this. So, really good. Really, and the art is gorgeous. I mean,
it is.
It's, and gorgeous in an awful way.
Yeah.
If that makes any kind of sense. Like, it's just, I mean, it's a medical, you're just looking at medical experiments, like lab rats and stuff like that, and it's really disturbing and makes you really feel for Logan and kind of understand his savagery. I think that was, I mean, that it really achieved its goal in that. You understand why this guy is so, like, full of rage and anger. So, well, Weapon X, it's Marvel Comics Presents number 72 through 84 by Barry Windsor Smith. It's collected... In Weapon X. If you search Weapon X, you'll find it.
Yeah, I was able to find the arc in Comixology. And that's where I got it. I had to buy each individual issue for a dollar each.
Really?
Yeah, like I couldn't just like buy.
It's the same thing with a Long Halloween. I could not.
That's so dumb.
Buy them as just together. I had to buy each and they're $2 a piece.
That's stupid.
Yeah. It's I don't understand why they can't. There's collections out of all of it together. I don't know why they can't sell it together like that. Generally, their trades are, you know, and they'll have it. You'll have a discount, like in typical trade, you know, or it's cheaper than all of the issues collected, but you can't even, it's not even an option.
You know, honestly, it's going to be one of two things. It's going to be a problem with the licensing.
Yeah.
You know, some content provider somewhere in the pike is holding things up, or it's, you know, someone not managing it correctly. You know, someone is not doing their job and getting it collected and sold together as a product.
Right. So that was a classic breakdown, folks. We're going to end this week's episode with a new segment. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to try it out. It's going to be called Deathmatch.
Yeah, I thought this was some kind of random character generator. So this is where it's you're calling it its own thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm excited.
Good.
Killing.
It's basically death. Hunting. But basically, Eric and I each think of a character. And then they fight, and we just talk it over, see who'd win, and their matchups. Where, you know, I would say, what do you think the showdown should, like, on just a regular city street or in like a gladiator's arena? Mm. Where do you think would be the most fair?
They'll meet in the octagon. No, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's like they get kidnapped by like some alien race, and they're having a showdown in like some space station or something, you know, orbiting a sun.
Okay.
Something fucking sweet like that.
Like, and there's like a big glass,
yeah,
you know, force field or whatever, and drop the microphone.
Yeah, drop the mic. Get out.
And you're out. And you're out. Yeah, there's some like force field behind them, and like you see like this alien sun shining in. But I imagine they'll just have their normal weapons and powers, whatever they may be. Their normal abilities, but do they have an idea of who they're facing beforehand? Can they prepare in any way?
I don't think that they should do that. It should just be like
a complete surprise.
Yeah, like I'm seeing like this is you when you said gladiator, like it's just. They raise the gate, they come out, and they're like, oh, shit, it's that guy.
Right, okay.
Or it's this person I've never seen before.
Yeah, they may not be familiar with each other. They probably aren't familiar with each other, depending. But I have mine in mind. Do you have yours, Eric?
I do, but I might be too deadly here. But I picked a character that I really like.
Well, so did I. You go first.
I picked Bullseye.
Pick Bullseye?
Yeah, I really love Bullseye.
Yeah, he's a good character.
He's so awesome.
And this is like classic, you know, Frank Miller Bullseye, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Right. Not the any kind of there's different modern incarnations, and he's like a crippled husk right now.
Yes, it's clearly not that one.
No, he's this is
Bullseye that
killed Elektra.
Yeah, this is Bullseye that, like, you know, carries shitloads of weapons and does backflips and kills people with pens just because he feels like it.
Yeah, it's fun. He just challenges himself. Let's see what I can kill someone with. Well, he might have a challenge. These characters, then he is familiar, maybe, with my character. Although he probably hasn't seen him in this form. Mm-hmm. Not at least not in this era. That era Bullseye had never... I don't even think current Bullseye ever saw Frank Castle as Frankencastle.
Oh, man, come on.
No?
Admittedly, this is interesting. Well, not as Frankencastle, but... But you can't tell me. Punisher and Bullseye have to have encountered each other.
No, they have fought each other. They've fought each other multiple times. I'm positive.
They're like kind of the same person on opposite sides of a feud. You know?
Well, Frank Castle's not as talented at murder, I think, as like Bullseye.
He's not as acrobatic about it. I think they're pretty
evenly matched,
like the regular Punisher
Frank Castle would wipe the floor with him, though.
Maybe. It's just because he's kind of fucking immortal.
That's true. He has the Bloodstone. It's not fair. Yeah. Unless Bullseye takes away his pills, his brain pills.
He takes away, and then it's just stupid. Frankencastle runs around going, "Murr!"
We should do someone else, not Frankencastle.
Well, maybe just regular Punisher. I think.
They fought before. We need someone new.
I guess
new.
That's true. So I guess I don't know.
I'll think.
We can do Frankencastle. Let's commit to it. Let's commit to it.
You sure? How about Frankencastle riding a dragon?
Now you're just getting ridiculous. I mean,
he appears from the sky.
Yeah.
And Bullseye just standing there with like...
Does Bullseye get a dragon?
If he can find one.
Well, where did Frankencastle find one in space?
In space? It was a space dragon.
So why aren't there more than one space dragon? Why can't they?
It's the last of its kind, just like in Frankencastle.
Why is it showing allegiance to Frankencastle?
Because Frank's a nice guy.
No, he's not. How could you take yourself seriously?
He's nice sometimes.
No, he's not.
He was nice to that one little mutant kid before he got killed in Frankencastle.
I guess so.
He saves people's lives. That's a nice thing.
Good lord.
It's true.
So Frankencastle without a dragon.
No dragons. Okay, no dragons. I think that's fair.
Maybe they can be fighting over a pit of hungry dragons. I don't know.
There doesn't have to be any dragons involved. I was just being greedy.
Well, you know, it's okay. You're looking out for your rational self-interest. It is to everyone's self-interest that we have a story where the Punisher, as a Frankenstein, fights Bullseye. Bullseye should be monstery in some way. Can this be like Lycanthrope Bullseye?
Werewolf Bullseye? I don't know. I think if he was going to be some kind of monstery kind of thing, he'd have to be something that suits his ability.
What's that, a vampire?
Like, we need somebody that, like, is a projectile, you know, ranged weapons in some way. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Well, I think we've established.
I think I got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
We have Bullseye, but he's been trained by Ulysses Bloodstone as a monster hunter.
Oh, man. This is,
He wants the Bloodstone back from Frankencastle.
Okay, this is pretty nice. Are they still fighting in space?
I think so, yes. They're still fighting in space.
Okay. Okay, this is pretty fun. This is Bullseye Monster Hunter.
Yes.
Versus Frankencastle.
It makes no fucking sense.
I don't think it needs to.
No, it doesn't.
It's just an awesome sandwich, you know?
It is awesome.
Piled on top of awesome.
Well, so Frankencastle obviously has the strength in this matchup.
So, yeah, Bullseye is going to spend his time keeping his distance. What is everyone armed with? That's a good question, because Frank is going to be, you know, he's going to be looking for his M16. He's going to set his M16 to rock and roll.
I know. Bullseye will have some sort of hand-to-hand weapon,
mm-hmm.
multiple ones, plus probably throwing knives.
Yeah,
you know, multiple ranged throwing weapons.
Has he smuggled these in, or are they like...
No, they let him keep them. They let him keep them.
So they're both armed in however they care to be.
Yeah, they're in their normal kind of armament. So Frankencastle would have his assault rifle. Bullseye would have his normal array of throwing weapons, plus maybe like a bolo, mm-hmm. or maybe like a pole arm of some sort. Or
so Bullseye's already at a huge disadvantage, and he can't let... He's got to stay in sort of a mid-range distance.
Yeah, because he can't... If he gets too far, he's just going to get picked off by the rifle.
Exactly.
But if he gets too close, he's going to get grabbed by one of those, you know, robo arms and just get his arm ripped off or something.
Absolutely, and this is his sort of constant challenge to stay where he can like use his superior agility.
Yeah,
and he doesn't have a huge disadvantage. And
no, he's by far more agile than Frank. Like Frank Castle is a pretty agile dude, but as Frankencastle, he's just a big giant robot guy. Yeah, I mean, he's not going to be dancing around. He's going to take hits. Bullseye is not going to miss him when he's throwing weapons at him.
No,
he's going to hit every time he wants to hit him. He's going to, because Frankencastle is not agile enough to dodge him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about how Bullseye picks his spots, where he wants to hit him.
Right.
He'd have to take the Bloodstone out.
Yes. Do you think that there's no place to hide? There's no sneaking up on him.
No.
So it's running out. He'd probably have to
disable the assault rifle.
Yeah.
As quickly as he can.
That's actually a good strategy. That's what he would have to do.
He'd have to disable the assault rifle and then dance around with him, try and take out. It reminds me of, you probably haven't gotten that far in Game of Thrones yet.
I just got to the Red Wedding.
Okay. Have you read about the Viper yet?
No.
Okay, then I don't want to spoil it for you.
You should not.
No, there's, you know, later on it would remind me of a battle from a Game of Thrones. Well, not Game of Thrones, but, you know. The saga of Ice and Fire, whatever.
You
know,
yes,
but
you can call it Game of Thrones. Yeah, it's commonly known as Game of Thrones.
Even though it's different titles.
Song of Ice and Fire really is kind of a bad title for a series, in my
yes.
opinion.
Yes, but it reminds me, once you get to it, maybe I can...
That's all fine.
If you remember.
Describe what you're thinking here.
It's... An agile guy who's more skilled facing a behemoth who, in one misstep, he'll die.
Yes.
If Bullseye makes one mistake, gets too close for an instant, he will get grabbed and he'll get killed.
Mm-hmm.
So he cannot make a mistake.
I assume this is someone fighting Sir Gregor that you're talking about.
You're correct, yes. Yeah,
I figured as much. I have no idea who it is, but...
Yeah, it's really good. You'll like it.
I hope it's Arya.
I'm not going to tell you. I do not want to give you any kind of preconception, because you'll...
Yeah, that's all fine.
But, so, I think Bullseye has to just first disable the assault rifle, because if he has a ranged weapon, there's no chance, because Frankencastle will take him out easily, because then he has both advantage of range and strength. So I think he has to take out the ranged... He probably throws some kind of projectile into the barrel.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense to me that he would be able to disable the gun pretty quickly. He would probably end up disabling it many times, because Frank would have the knowledge to
repair it.
Yeah, absolutely. Even in a situation like that.
Yeah.
I imagine there would have to be like some kind of cover or something like that.
I think there are, you know, there is probably pillars and I'm imagining
there's like a big like a maze that's in ruins or something. You know,
yeah.
And they're weaving in and out of it. So Bullseye has a little bit more of an advantage there, and he's still trying to keep in that range. But this gives, you know, Frank is still ducking back from time to time, and he's, as long as he's taking his brain candy,
He's fine.
He's able to figure out how to repair his rifle and you know, keep his advantage.
Yeah, and I imagine he keeps going back to that, and Bullseye keeps disabling it as he gets, you know, stays right in that range where he can't, and Franks starts to get frustrated because he's not able to fire his weapon, and he can't get close enough to him to grab him.
Yeah.
And
what happens at this point is he start using his Frankenstein strength and tearing up walls and throwing.
I imagine he just kind of starts, you know, raging out a little bit and starts charging. He realizes that he's never going to catch him just dancing around and dodging behind walls and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's never going to happen. So maybe he just kind of, maybe we cut Bullseye's, like, you know, hanging out behind a wall somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you get the image of Frankencastle punching through the other side. Something like that, you know, and Bullseye, right, man, right. slips away or something narrowly, but then they keep that motif keeps up and breaking down like these old ruins or stuff, just charging through like a mad bull. And I think he eventually would grab him,
mm-hmm.
but Bullseye would be able to get the bloodstone out before Frank did any, before Frank killed him.
Hmm.
And then maybe gets in like a fatal blow to his brain or his neck. Because if without the bloodstone, there's no way Frank would live.
Right.
With the bloodstone keeps him alive, and without it, he'll die slowly. But without it, and a fatal injury to like his heart or his throat or his head, he would definitely die quickly. So I think they land maybe fatal blows to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bullseye, I think, doesn't die instantly, but I don't think he lives. Frank probably dies first, but Bullseye dies quickly thereafter. I don't think both of them can make. I don't think either of them make it out alive.
Interesting.
I think he probably rips off a leg and an arm of Bullseye.
Like as he's dying.
Yeah, and
he bleeds out.
Yeah, he's like crawling. But they both die, you know, right on the ground. They're in blood oozing out of them or whatever.
So, like, with his dying breath, Frankencastle, like, he shuts down Bullseye.
Yeah, I think so.
That's pretty epic.
Yeah, I think Bullseye would kill him, like, get the killing blow first. But Frank's too, especially as Frankencastle, he's, like, too much willpower just to die that easily. So he'd make sure that Bullseye would not make it out alive.
It's pretty friggin' sweet.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then,
God,
like,
I want this to happen now.
I know. And then I'm just seeing, like, you know, it pulls back, and you see the Watcher standing there.
and he just nods.
Yes, he's like, yes.
That is truly, this is truly a moment of great portent.
Well, there we have it.
Yeah, that was the death match, folks.
Mm-hmm.
God, it wasn't exactly what I expected to happen, but it was still amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
So,
this had lots of death in it.
It did.
Two whole deaths.
Two of them. Entire deaths.
Dose death.
Dose death. For our Spanish friends. Our Spanish handsomeites. Mm-hmm. Spanish-speaking handsomeites. But that's the end of episode 15, folks. And that was our attempt at a short episode.
It was.
We didn't do a great job.
Did not work out that well.
Yeah. I think it went well.
I think so.
We are the Handsome Boys Comics Hour. You can find us at handsomeboyscomicshour.com. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/handsomeboyscomicshour. You can go there, like us, leave us a message. We read everything we get. We'll like it and comment back and, you know, do other Facebooky things. We'll invite you to play Candy Crush.
I can't wait to invite you to play Candy Crush.
We are on iTunes. Search Handsome Boys Comics Hour. You will find us and only us. So far, no one else has tried to steal our name yet.
No one's poaching our shit.
not yet. We'll be fighting them if they try, though.
I can't wait. It'll be another death match.
Another death match. We're also on Tumblr. It's handsomeboyscomicshour.tumblr.com. Put up random panels of stuff. I found that Quicksilver panel that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Put it up.
That was an interesting day, wasn't it?
It was. I finally found it all together. I'd never seen it all at once.
And there was, who was it that posted it?
Brian Michael Bendis.
That's what I thought.
Bendis did, yeah.
God, it's so 90s.
It is very, especially the art is Joe Quesada.
Yeah. Oh, is that who it was?
Yes.
Jesus Christ, I'm glad he doesn't draw anymore.
Yeah, he does like a special variant cover like once every 6 months. But I think that's it for us. For me, you can find me on Tumblr at mixmasterserial.tumblr.com. You can find me on Twitter. You can bug me if you want. I don't care. Leave me messages. I'll talk back to you when I get a moment. And we can ask me questions, and we'll answer them on the show. But where can they find you online, Eric?
You can check me out, find most of the things I do online at ericzgoodnight.com. You can see my illustration portfolio if you point your browser to freewillunlimited.com. And I am also on the Twitter machine. My handle is Mr. Bad Example, MR Bad Example. Twitter.
Yeah. And you can ask us questions and you can leave us messages or interact and have fun. Right, Eric?
It's terribly exciting.
This reminded me of Bruce Willis, The Fifth Element.
Well, with Ruby
Rod.
Yes, yes.
Thrilled.
Well, I am exactly like an action hero. So.
That's with a dry cool wit like that.
Ice that one, to call the phrase.
God. So we can call that a day. Until next time, folks, have a good one.
Rock and roll.